There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you are not one of them.
You want to
keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser Hamid is on special assignment. This is podcast number 525, September 9th, 2011. Steven?
This F1Weekly podcast is brought to you by Google Ads. Google Ads gets you the things that you want to have. Click on them. You know you want to.
Thank you, Steven. On today's program, can Fernando deliver at Monza? Hamilton vows to stay clear of trouble. Cosworth replaces Gallagher. And, of course, Motorsports Mondial with the king, the Duke of Dijon himself, the host, and the president of F1 Weekly's European operations, Mr. Peter Brazier, visits the Lotus factory and sends us a full report. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers himself.
Well, we've got Monza. We've got Nasser in South America getting the goods. Of course, you know, we pay him a good salary, so we expect quality. And Monza is going to be exciting. High speed, six corners. Whew. I'm looking forward to it. Of course, I'm also doing the California Melee Rally this weekend. So the front page will be updated late, as usual. Because on this weekend, I am too busy on the road with the vintages.
The vintages.
But still, it's going to be a great race. Monza is always fun. I was reading that the crowds today were more than on race day in Turkey. And today's, what, Thursday?
Wow.
Yes.
Lower ticket prices?
Absolutely phenomenal. I mean, it's such a great venue. Everybody flocks to Mecca of motorsports, Monza.
Monza.
So I wish I was there. Was there last year, Steve, but not this year.
Not this year.
No, but that's okay.
Couldn't get your benefactor to go again?
No, my sponsor?
Yes.
Yeah, my sponsor said no cigar. Something about, I don't know. It could have been the lack of funds and everything else that's going wrong.
Didn't
world.
Have anything to do with the hotel tab you ran up last time?
It could have been.
And then the bar tab?
The bar tab was pretty brutal. Yep. But that's the way it is. And the room service got out of control. But there you have it. I had interesting news from Sebastian Vettel. Apparently, he lives a very simple life.
Apparently.
No frou-frous. And you know what he drives?
A Megane?
No. He drives an older Volkswagen bus.
Huh.
And he says you can do everything with it. You could even plug a freezer into the cigarette lighter. There's really nothing on which I need to spend very much money. So I was very impressed.
You can plug a freezer into any cigarette lighter. It doesn't need to be a Volkswagen bus.
But he likes his Volkswagen bus.
Basically saying that he could live in it.
Pretty much. So I like that. He's frugal, yeah. Not ostentatious whatsoever, you know, because a lot of young drivers, like the Hamiltons and the Fernandos, you know, they have their Ferraris, they have their big Benzes, and they go around.
Well, when you drive for Ferrari and you drive for Benz, you tend to end up with those because they're typically, you know, part of your package.
Exactly. And, of course, Lewis Hamilton has been in the news quite a bit lately.
I'm surprised that Sebastian isn't driving one of those minis with the Red Bull can on it.
That's true. That's true. But he likes a bus. Apparently, he likes the
maybe his bus is painted like a Red Bull can.
Yeah. Correct. So, good for... No, I think that was terrific. Yeah, Lewis Hamilton has been in the news in a negative fashion because of some of his forays into other people's cars. And, of course, he has come out and said that he will give people a little bit more room when he's passing them. You know, he's going to have more situational awareness, Stephen.
Well, let's hope. So I'd like to see him stay on track because he's a lot more interesting when he's on the track than when he's in the paddock.
Yes, and of course, McLaren have no plans in trying to change his approach to driving.
Yeah, he's a one-time, he's a world champion. You really can't, you know, kind of dictate what he's going to do.
That's true. Hamilton says, I will continue to drive the way I drive, and I will just try my hardest to stay out of trouble. I will give people extra room when I overtake them. I'm trying to get back to having some good results so I can stop negative stories being written about moi. I don't read them, but I hear there are pretty bad stories out there about me, and I don't want negative stories about me. So there
about
you have
me.
It. Me. It's all about me, Stephen. Pretty much like this show.
Yes.
Fascinating stuff, though. Ferrari's come out, and you know, they're going to try to make a big show. They won last year. Don't forget. Top step of the podium. That's why I was really happy I went to Monza last year. I mean, the Tifosi, Ferrari. I mean, it was out of control. It was the way the Tifosi rushed to
the stage.
Oh, it was fantastic. Absolutely thrilling. You can't, it just doesn't get better than that. It really doesn't. It was a great venue, and I highly recommend anybody, if you're going to go to a Grand Prix, certainly go to Monza. But Ferrari, you know, they've also said that they're definitely working on the 2012 car, and they're saying that this is going to be the one.
Yeah, well, I like the Alonso could have a run like Schumacher.
Yes.
They think... good luck with that.
Yeah, you know, I think they should be a little more subdued.
Yeah.
Of course, they've got the Pope and Italian fans to contend with, the pleas. It's not easy being Ferrari and not winning a championship.
No, but you also don't want to build up their hopes either, you know, unnecessarily. You know, to make that statement when the car is going to completely change in 2 years is not really, in my mind, a good thing, especially when they're going to an engine that Ferrari doesn't have a lot of experience building.
Well, they'll be V6s. They have plenty of experience doing that. Give them some...
They just go to the Fiat plant?
No. The Dinos, all Dinos are V6s, Steven. But they say, we are convinced this is the last disappointing season. Tot won a lot. But he had time to build a winning team with extraordinary balance. I aim to do the same, and I'm optimistic about next year, and we will be kicking some Red Bull booty.
Okay, yeah. Is he hired away Nui yet?
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, but I believe Nui's under contract with Red Bull for like 5 more years or something ridiculous.
Yeah, and you know, Nui's getting, you know, he's getting old. I don't see him moving to another team one more time.
No. He's pretty much set. He doesn't really need to move on again.
I agree. Of course, we always have some interesting news with some of the older folk. And it's funny, I finally got to see the Senna movie, which was good. I enjoyed it. I mean, I think it's been hyped up a little bit too much, but still definitely a good watch. And a fun motorsports film. Well, I wouldn't call it fun. The ending is quite depressing. But still, a lot of Rubens Barrichello in there. Of course, with the crash on Friday practice and at Imola. But still, Rubinho, young, dashing, in the Senna movie.
Eons ago.
And of course, he was in the interview sitting next to Senna. And it was just astonishing when I think about it. He's still here.
Yeah.
But then Schumacher's still here.
Yep.
And, of course, Rubens Barrichello saying, no, it's not going to happen when asked if he was worried about not being in F1 next year. I feel that in a way that I have to be here next year. I've put everything into this team, and I'm going to stay forever. a year like this, to be working for another year like this on my 20th year, I need something better. I feel the team is doing better with the engine change and the personnel change and everything. So, yeah, he thinks he's going to be at Williams next year.
Well, Yarno seems to think he's going to be at Lotus, so.
Speaking of Lotus, and we will have an update from our friend Peter Brazier, president of European Affairs. It's going to be fascinating. I've listened to it. It's quite outstanding. But yes, Yarno Trulli, he says, yeah, I'm pretty comfortable for next year. Obviously, it's not down to me. But yes, I am pretty happy with the way we are working with the team and the relationship for the future. I would say that we are settled. And of course, he's 37 years old. We'll be 38 next year. And he plans to be in Formula One next year. So, you know, if Rubinho's there, Schumacher's going to be there. I mean, that's
starting
it.
To turn into old, it's starting to look like NASCAR.
Yeah, it's a little bit like NASCAR. But what can you do? I mean, and it's interesting. Yarno Trulli says that Monza is, you know, even though it's his home, it's a home race. He's Italian. He's not, it doesn't get him, he doesn't find it any different than any other race. But then Vittorio Liuzzi, when he talks about the race, I mean, he's wearing a special helmet. He's got a special shirt on, special pants. He's so excited about being at Monza, which is great. I think that's the attitude you should have. Yeah. And Yarno Trulli is sort of like, eh, laissez-faire kind of attitude.
Well, blasé, you know, it's an old hat. And, you know, that's one of the things I don't like about having the older drivers on, there isn't the same kind of energy that you get from a young guy.
Of course. I mean, they're burnt out.
Yeah, pretty much.
And when you listen to a lot of his comments, you know, they're canned, they're boring. And, I mean, we're still
way too often negative.
I mean, we're still wobbling and babbling about this power steering situation at Lotus and Yarno Trulli, which has been going on for months. Sometimes they have it, sometimes they don't because of technical reasons. They didn't have it at Spa. They might not have it here, but then they might.
So, race car driver, drive the damn car. Power steering, big deal. Oh, your arms are getting tired. Then you should be working out more.
Yeah, I remember when they didn't have power steering.
Yes.
So, I don't know. You know, I used to...
at the beginning of Yarno's career.
Yeah, I used to like Yarno, but, you know, as these drivers continue to hang out and have the same answers and whine and complain about the car, I mean, I say get some young people in there. Nick Heidfeld's gone. We've got Bruno Senna.
Yeah, and, you know, Yarno's probably not bringing sponsorship. You know, go out and get someone who's...
Not only that, but look at the happiness that's in the Renault paddock right now with Bruno.
Bruno.
And Bruno's, you know... Okay, he finished 13th, had a great qualifying session, but still, it's his eagerness, his hungriness. Heidfeld didn't have that. Heidfeld, you know, was making sure his hair was...
He was basically, you know, hoping to get that contract that, you know, Yarno or Rubinho's got so he can stay in the sport for another 10 years.
Yeah, but there are talks about Heidfeld going to DTM next year and driving for BMW, Steven.
Then that, I think, would be a fantastic move for Nick because that's pretty much where he needs to go. Because I think his usefulness in Formula One is pretty much done. Let's see if he can do better than the other guys that have recently moved over there, like his old buddy Ralph.
Exactly, and Ralph has been picking up the pace and having some good drives.
Yeah, no, he's finally getting a little bit better car.
Yeah, so all in all, it's going to be a great weekend. Monza, Steve, I can't wait. Of course, Schumacher, he was just... came out of his garage, and the fans just flocked. A lot of the Tifosi still remember Schumacher bringing all those world championships to Ferrari. And
it was here at Monza that they announced his retirement.
In 2006. Retiring. Yeah, that was bizarre, and it still flashes in my mind. Yeah. But nevertheless, that's when Renault won a world championship, and that makes me happy, Steven. But no, it's going to be a great weekend. So we should see Mercedes do pretty well. I think they're trying to get a little more top speed. Of course, very low downforce at this track. And maybe they could look a little faster. I mean, the downforce is so low, a lot of people are questioning, will the DRS be that effective? But the drag will be reduced. You will be going faster.
It just depends on whether or not it's, you know, significantly more than you would have without it. It'll be interesting to see because I think that was really the one thing that was kind of hurting Mercedes in Belgium is that they really didn't seem to have the same top end that the likes of McLaren and Red Bull had.
Yeah, I agree. Also, Force India, they want to be sort of get back into the game. High expectations at Spa, and they sort of let the Force India people down.
Yeah. I think part of what helped hurt a lot of people in Belgium was the changing weather, because kind of messed up people's setups.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, we, of course, have the negative camber gate, Stephen.
Camber gate.
Yes, camber gate is, we'll be here. We'll see if it's talked about. We'll find out in Friday practice if there's any blistering. But apparently, I think the limit by Pirelli at this venue will be 3.7 degrees.
Yeah, they reduced it and basically said that they were going to go with that from here on out, because basically they just overestimated the ability of the inside edge of their tire to hold up.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, this is just a suggestion on safety purposes. I expect Red Bull to be closer to a 4 degree rake.
3.85? 3.9. Again, if you can get away with it, you need to see what you're doing.
Well, it's not, I mean, it's just a suggestion. It's, you know, if your tires will last with that much negative camber, they're going to do it. And they're going to need it here at Spa with those long straights.
Yeah.
That's the biggest problem. Red Bull needs more. They need that 4.3 again for these long straights if they're going to be fast.
Well, you want to get the tire patch. You want to minimize the tire patch when you're going down the long straight, because it gives you a little bit, just a tad bit more speed.
Yeah. So it's going to be very interesting. And I think there will be a little bit of a commotion on that probably Friday evening and Saturday morning. But we'll see what happens.
Just hope they don't write anything into this. Somebody starts saying, let's write something into the sporting regulations.
Well, let's hope not. But still, and this warm weather that we're expecting in Monza will, of course, favor Ferrari.
Ferrari.
Soft compounds. And if they have the medium compounds and it's warm weather, Ferrari will have
the ability to actually use them and have some speed.
Some performance, yes. So it's going to be fascinating. We shall see. But anyway, there you have it. Monza is going to be one doozy of a race, Stephen.
Should be a lot of fun.
Any predictions?
Sebastian Vettel on pole. Sebastian Vettel wins. Actually, this might be a chance for Mark Webber to finally break his shtick.
I agree. It's also a great chance for Lewis Hamilton to stay out of trouble and maybe
win another Grand Prix. Have looked really strong the last couple of weeks. So.
But I say it's Ferrari all the way, one to finish for the Tifosi, Stephen.
Ooh, that's going out on a limb, Mr. Rogers.
I know. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned for Peter Brazier's report on the Lotus F1 Team Factory and, of course, Motorsports Mondial by me. It's not as good as the usual stuff, but still great. So we'll be back after this brief message from Bell Auto Care.
Do you own a European or Japanese vehicle and live in the New York tri-state area? Then I want to tell you about Bell Auto Care. Bell Auto Care is a Bosch authorized repair shop with over 35 years of dedication in providing honest, friendly, and up-to-date repair and preventative maintenance to vehicles like yours and mine. Not only is this the shop in the New York area to take your European or Japanese car, they are F1 and MotoGP enthusiasts as well. So go to bellautocare.com to check out their special deals, F1 and MotoGP news, or for more information, and ring their bell to care for your car.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the Duke of Dijon himself, me. Greetings and racing regards. And Steve, did you get to watch any of the weekend action, like Le NASCAR and all that stuff?
I think I caught a couple of laps of NASCAR. And was the snow race? That was 2 weeks ago now, huh? I watched a little bit of the IndyCar race, but it was
that, you
the
mean
week
Baltimore,
before.
Baltimore, yeah, that was last week.
I actually watched Sonoma. So
oh, okay. Oh, that's good. Keep up the good work, Steve. Maybe I'll borrow that. But anyway, let's go right to NASCAR Nation. Jeff Gordon held off reigning champion Jimmy Johnson to claim the 85th Sprint Cup Series career victory for Mr. Gordon. And, of course, this was a rain-delayed race.
They didn't run the big race on Monday instead of Sunday?
I think they ran on Tuesday, Steve, because Monday was Labor Day.
And still raining.
something like that. But the four-time champion is now in sole possession of third place in the all-time winners list. So there you go, Jeff Gordon.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and
he's been one of my favorites.
Local California guy. MotoGP, Jorge Lorenzo ended title rival Casey Stoner's run of three straight victories with a great win at the San Marino Grand Prix. This is the Spaniard's third win of the season and was made all the sweeter as Stoner lost second place to his Honda teammate, Danny Pedrosa, six laps from the finish. Let's go to WRC, Steven.
WRC?
Yeah, Citroën.
Who won?
They didn't. It's not happening yet. They're doing the Rally of Australia, and of course...
fun.
They're hoping that my friend, Mr. Loeb, will win his ninth straight Rally of Australia.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, ninth straight. Well, he's Sebastian Ogier has been giving him a lot
of trouble.
Yes, a lot of trouble and winning some races. So there you have it. But still, Citroën has won the Manufacturers' Championship six times in the last 8 years, and it arrives in Australia with a 91-point advantage over Ford. So, the DS3 has had no reliability retirements this year, Stephen.
It's pretty intense. So, especially WRC. WRC is brutal on cars, and to be able to keep the car running, basically not failing other than with tires or accidents, is pretty impressive.
It is pretty impressive. Of course, my Alsatian friend will probably win in Australia. Let's go to the World Touring Car Championship. Ivan Müller took the first race win and the Touring Car Championship lead at Valencia. Of course, he was driving his Chevrolet Cruze ahead of Alan Menu. And it's a pretty good series. It's pretty exciting.
It's fun to watch because they will mix it up.
They do mix it up. But congratulations to Ivan Müller. Let's go to DTM. Martin Tomczyk produced a masterful performance in wet conditions at Brands Hatch. We were denied at Brands Hatch, Stephen.
I know. I'm rude.
Yeah. But he's taking his third DTM win of the year and leads the championship from Bruno Spengler. I thought Bruno Spengler was going to hold on to that lead, but no. British F3. Kevin Magnussen. With lots of pressure from Pietro Fatin, wins a wet final British Formula 3 race at Rockingham. And of course, Felipe Nasser clinched the championship by being on the podium, Stephen.
Congratulations to Felipe
Nasser. Nasser's cousin, Nasser.
A friend of the show.
Yep, British F3 champion. Congratulations. Great stuff. And Nasser called it. He said he had talent and could pull it off. Very, very, very exciting. Poleman Fatten defended successfully from Carlin duo Magnussen and Nasser at the start, but was passed by both on the first run out of Dean and through Yentwood. Magnussen closed out the rest of the race from the front, staying cool through two safety car series. So great, great, great. Still fantastic race, and congratulations to our friend Felipe Nasser. Let's go to the British Touring Car Championship, Stephen. Tom Chilton gave the global Ford Focus its first British Touring Car victory in Knockhill's opening race this afternoon. Chilton led from pole in his Arena Motorsports Focus and edged away from Matt Neal's Honda Civic. Gordon Sheldon won the second British Touring Car race at his home circuit at Knockhill this afternoon to move into the lead in the standings. The early stages looked like a repeat of race one, with Arena Motorsport Ford Focus driver Tom Chilton edging away as Chilton tried to oust Honda Racing Team Matt Neal from second. Very exciting. Very exciting indeed. Tom Boardman claimed victory, controversial reverse grid British touring car race. And they have three races. The final race is a reverse grid, which is fascinating and I think exciting. And people have suggested this for Formula One, Steve.
Well, they've also suggested multiple races over the weekend, too, so.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Love it! So there you have it. That's what's happening in the BTCC. And, of course, Cosworth. Big shakeup at Cosworth as...
Actually, reverse grid in Formula 1 would be cool. What they do is you qualify, and then they flip a coin as to whether or not it'll be starting order or reverse grid.
Yeah, and scare people half to death.
Exactly.
Cosworth has appointed Kip Spearman as the new head of Formula One operations. Mark Gallagher, ahead before this Italian Grand Prix weekend. Gallagher has resigned from his role as general manager of F1 business unit at Cosworth after 2 years, and he wants to move on, do other things. And I don't know very much about Kim Spearman, but right now Cosworth, they've got to make some changes if they're going to stay in Formula One. They've got to build V6s now, so...
Yeah, I don't think they'll have a problem with that, though they may have more competition because there are a couple other persons looking into building motors.
Absolutely, including Pure is the name of the company. Pure. Our friend, his name escapes me right now, associated with Jacques Villeneuve. So that's going to be very, very interesting. Anyway, there you go. That's Motorsports Mondial for me, and pretty much just stuff I found all over the place.
All over the place.
Yep. Now
we have a report, I hear.
Yes, we do have a great report from Peter Brazier, who went to the Lotus F1 team factory. And Peter, take it away.
Hi, everyone. It's Peter here, reporting from England exclusively for F1 Weekly. I went on a tour of the Team Lotus operation recently. They are the only team who offer this. It costs £80, but that's all they ask. No fan membership or any other requirement. Now, I've come to respect Team Lotus for a number of reasons. They seem to be doing this new team thing right. By comparison to HRT and Virgin, they're doing quite well on performance. But it's also the way they treat their fans. If any of you follow them on Twitter or Facebook, you'll see they interact openly more than any other team. Even Tony Fernandez's Twitter seems to be open and honest. He comes over as a good guy, which obviously helps liking this team enormously. I went on one of these tours just over a year ago. I went with the F1 Weekly Professor of Holidays, Vacations and Sabbaticals, Dr. Mark. They were very new back then, so I thought I'd go back and see what's changed. The Team Lotus factory is located in Hingham. It's a small village in rural Norfolk, England's farming country, surrounded by field after field of mostly arable crops. It's a few miles from Group Lotus at Hethel and a handful of miles from Snetterton Racetrack. This is Motorsport Valley farmer style. The factory itself is very unassuming. It's a very normal looking building on a very normal factory estate, typical for the UK. It's surrounded by small businesses of all sorts. First thing I noticed on arriving was some expansion. Last year the team were in a single building, but now three or four other smaller buildings had signs up. Some Team Lotus, but most were Team Caterham, their GP2 team. In their rather modest reception is a T127, last year's car, and a small trophy case containing two GP2 cups. To start, we were shown the same video as last year, which tells the story of how they went from nothing to a full running car in 6 months. This is a good, inspiring story, but one they're going to have to stop relying on soon. We first visited the design and engineering office. This has expanded enormously. There were at least 50 desks which had people sitting staring at screens, most of them displaying 3D models of bits of a car. The guy in charge of the front wing section described what he did to us. They still use wind tunnels in Italy and Williams, but they really look forward to having their own in Hingham. Next we went downstairs and into the composites room where the carbon fibre components are created. We were shown components and how they were assembled, shown the autoclaves. And in amongst all this were the two front wings damaged at Spa, of which one was being repaired. We saw one of the prototype 2012 wings being created. It never ceases to amaze me how manual and skilled all this process is. They said they were now able to make many more components from carbon, which had to be metal last year. from things like suspension arms to throttle pedals. Next door to the composites is the spray shop. Apparently each car has only 2 kilos of paint, and they use metallic paint, which actually has a 0.5 kilo weight penalty. I'm sure that will go once they start chasing the weight, something they don't have to do at the moment as they don't have KERS system, in itself a 35 kilo saving. Next we went into the assembly shop where all sorts of parts of the cars were lying about, rather messily I thought. The floors from both cars were being inspected and showed quite a lot of minor damage. There were suspension and bodywork bits everywhere, all nicely labelled up, being measured and inspected. Some of the major bodywork panels were getting ready to be resprayed for some fairly minor stone chips. A bit over the top, I thought. Surely that should have had some kind of high-tech touch-up pen. Next we went out to the race bays where the tubs for Heike and Jarno's cars were sitting, wires, tubes and suspension arms hanging like spaghetti. The engines were separated and sitting on trolleys, covered from our prying eyes. The gearboxes and rear suspension were also on trolleys, but in full view. I'm amazed every time I see a Formula One gearbox. Not only are they small, about half the size of a shoebox, they are the host for all the rear suspension and everything else that hangs off it. It doesn't look strong enough to do that job. Never mind hold all the cogs, the shafts, the servos and the hydraulics that transmit 700 horsepower through 7 gears. Throughout the tour, our level of access was, I believe, unique to Formula One. With the exception of the Renault engine, we were not prevented from looking anywhere, and all questions were answered openly. Back up in the meeting room, we had a Q&A session hosted by Sylvie. Sylvie's the Team Lotus marketing manager and partner of Mike Gascoigne. Number one question from me was a request to get the picture with the famous Team Lotus dogs, Max and Sam. You can see that picture, I've posted it on the forum. The main questions asked were about the branding, why they chose to take the mark and then have to fight for it. Sylvie came up with some good answers, although it's heavily peppered with politically correct PR. I specifically asked about the recent Joe Sayward article, where he had reported a deal had been done which allowed Group Lotus to call their current Renault chassis a Lotus, and Fernandez would call his team Caterham. This was apparently an exchange for his deal to take part ownership of Malaysian Airlines and control the country's airport slots. I asked her if a deal had been done with Group. "We are always talking," she said. "Okay, so are you changing your name next year?" "Nothing has been announced." As I left, I complimented Sylvie on the way they run these sort of outreach projects, how well they communicate with fans, and finally saying, "Whatever you do, don't drop the Lotus name." She replied, "We will always be green and yellow." I thought better of pushing her further, as she was much, much better at this than me. I just smiled, and after a few seconds I surmised it was a done deal. So I had a couple of hours to reflect on the drive home. I've become attached to this team for no apparent reason that I can analyse. Does it really matter what they're called? Was my attraction to them anything to do with Lotus, its history and its brand? I thought I was a fan of them resurrecting the Lotus name, and I know that in itself that was controversial. Just before they hit the scene, I was lucky enough to have visited the workshops of classic Team Lotus with Nazir. We met Clive Chapman and Bob Dance. Nazir interviewed them both, and I was full of nostalgia. At the time, Fernandez had the blessing of Proton, Group Lotus's owners, to use the name for 5 years, and shortly after that, Group Lotus, Classic Team Lotus and Lotus Racing were all playing Happy Families at the Lotus Festival at Snetterson. It was perfect. The cars were British Racing Green with the yellow stripe, and the famous black cat was being carried by Mike Gascoigne to each race. My nostalgia glands were working overtime. That, as we all know, has turned sour. Bitterly sour. Opinions raced, and naturally I took sides. But after today, on the 100-mile drive home, my opinion turned 100%. Now I really don't care what they're called. I got caught up in the legal issue. I got caught up in the argument about the rights and wrongs of who has the right to claim the heritage. Well, I don't think Fernandez needs heritage. He does things properly, honestly, and right by the fans. That is worth more than heritage. He's a modern-day businessman doing business the way it needs to be done today. The reason I like this team is it's honest, it makes no pretense and is straightforward with me. The people I visited today were enthusiastic, bright and eager. not because they owed something to Colin Chapman, but because Tony Fernandez works this way. Nearly all of the people I met were not even out of school, or probably not even born when Chapman died. There is a good chance the massively optimistic plans Group Lotus has for world domination of the supercar sector is likely to actually sour the Lotus brand itself. Fernandez owns Caterham. It's a niche brand, one that carries a little history, but certainly no trash. I actually think Fernandez would be better off disassociating himself from the Lotus brand for now, and being what he is, an individual. Caterham is a brand he can build his way. I think he has bigger problems merging his AirAsia brand with Malaysian Airlines. He has also bought Queen's Park Rangers, a soccer club, despite being an open West Ham United fan. He has already pulled that one off with an unprecedented welcome from the very loyal and possessive QPR fans. That's all from me, folks, and if you want to discuss this or any other issue, or simply chat with a friendly bunch of like-minded F1 fans, please visit the forum at f1weekly.com. My handle is yay. Bye for now.
Peter, thanks for another outstanding job. Let's take a break and come back with the wrap-up. And now let's go right to the wrap-up. San Francisco Formula One group. They meet, they drink, and they have a great time during the Formula One season. Check them out at sff1.com. Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2011 Redline Oil Karting Championship. Cameron Karting offers CRG karts, engines and parts for all karts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California karters. For more information, contact CameronKarting.com. I want to mention our Facebook and Twitter sites. Just do a search for F1 Weekly and make us a friend or simply like us. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email me at info@f1weekly.com. I want to thank everybody who listens to the program. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
This is Desiree for f1weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport. A blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.